Father, as we come to your word, we come as those who need to hear from you, to be transformed by grace, to be touched by mercy. Lord, come and work in our hearts and transform our lives by your grace in these moments as we submit ourselves to your word and your will. We pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated. If you have your copy of God's Word, open with me to Matthew chapter 25. If you're here today and you don't have a Bible, that's okie doke. There should be one in a chair right in front of you. Feel free to take and use that one. And if you don't have one at home, take that one home with you as our gift. We want everybody to have a copy of God's Word, so feel free to take that with you. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 25, this parable of the 10 virgins. As you all know, we've talked many times about the fact that parables are stories about ordinary, everyday things that teach us something extraordinary about the spiritual world. Today, we're going to a wedding. That's pretty fun, huh? Going to a wedding. We're planning for one of those at my house. I can tell you the way that you wait for a wedding is not passive. And it's not cheap. But here we go. So there's three things I want to, the title of this message today, and I did this for all my friends from Ole Miss, no offense to anybody who didn't go to Ole Miss, but the title of this message is, Are You Ready? Now, I don't know if my Ole Miss friends know this or not, but do you know that that cheer actually came as a regimental cry for I just read this on the internet, so it could be wrong, but they say it came from Virginia Tech, actually. That the regimental brigade from Virginia Tech had a song called Heidi Tidy, and it was adopted by Ole Miss as a cheer, as the idea of going to battle. When you get, are you ready at football to go to battle? Are you ready to win on the gridiron? Some weeks they're more ready than others, but praise God. The whole point of the cheer, though, is that you can't come into battle. You can't get ready for a game. You can't get ready for any major event in life by waiting passively for something to happen to you, right? Here, the Lord God is calling us to be ready for the kingdom. Just like when you are preparing for a wedding, you're not sitting around waiting for the day to come doing nothing. You're getting ready. What are you doing to get ready for the bridegroom of your soul? What are you doing today to prepare your heart and to prepare your life for the reality that the Lord God Almighty, the one who loved you and gave his life for you, is coming again for you? We need to be ready. So in this parable, we have this story. It says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Now, for most of us, that doesn't mean a whole lot, because we don't do weddings like they did back in Jewish culture. But what happened was there was this big exchange. The bride would be exchanged from her family of origin to the groom's family. And there would be a procession from the bride's home to the groom's home, where there would be a multiple-day feast. And the virgins there are literally the bridesmaids. And so the bridesmaids, their responsibility was to have torches, and they would lead the procession to the groom's home. The groom would actually come to fetch the bride and take her home. And so they would lead this procession through the streets with these torches lit. It was quite the affair. And then there would be a feast for days. And so these 10 virgins, these 10 young women of marrying age, had their lamps, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, it says that 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. Again, this is a story, so don't read too much into the numbers. I mean, you read commentators, and people get all crazy about numbers. Don't worry about it. It just says there were some were, you could even say, some were wise, and some were foolish. So the wise ones brought not only their lamps, because you're going to need that for the procession, but not knowing how long it was going to be till the bridegroom came, they brought extra oil. Now, the others, they were just foolish. Typical 20-something-year-old girls, they were excited, they had their dresses on, they had their lamps, and they left the oil at home. Now, they didn't know how long it was going to be till the bridegroom came, and so they were just kind of hanging out, waiting on the bridegroom. It must have been a while, because everybody fell asleep. So there's no condemnation for that. But the first thing I want you to see here is that there's a wait. And how you wait matters. How many of you feel like you're actively waiting on the Lord God's return? You see, the Bible calls Jesus the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. And the bridegroom is going to come fetch us. And there's going to be a procession to the new heaven and the new earth. And there's going to be a feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we're all going to gather around and be united with our bridegroom and enjoy the blessing of being in the family. But how are we waiting? You see, I think how we wait matters. Some of us may be like the foolish bridesmaids who said, hey, we're clothed in the righteousness of another. We got our dress ready to go. Hurry up. And we do nothing. Others, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, are actively seeking to grow in grace, are actively seeking to be changed by mercy, are actively looking to know and do the will of the living God, because we want, when the Lord Jesus comes, to be ready, to have oil in the lamp, so to speak. I'm not asking for a raising of hands, but I am asking for an honest assessment. If you were to evaluate how you're waiting, are you eagerly anticipating the return of the Lord God? Are you eagerly seeking to make your heart and your life ready to be united with the Lord God Almighty? Are you pursuing Him in a way that will be a blessing when he comes? How we wait matters. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, has these verses that are always such an encouragement to me. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The prophet Isaiah paints the picture of the one who is anticipating the coming of the Lord, who is actively waiting for his return, who is eagerly expectant for the bridegroom to come. Those who wait like that will have their strength renewed, will have their wings like eagles, will be able to run and not be weary and walk and not faint, because they're being carried along by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all shall reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. You see, the purpose of the wait is not Jesus just being slow to fulfill his promise. The whole purpose of the wait, the whole point of this time between his ascension into heaven and his return at the parousia, is that the Lord is calling for himself a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, from every place and among every people, and he calls them his very own. And he wants us to be prepared for his coming. We're all born in Adam, sinful, wretched, guilty. But when we receive Christ and his grace, we become new creations. And the time from the time we come to faith and the time that Jesus comes again is a time for us to be ready. And Jesus is not being slow to fulfill his promise. He is giving space for people everywhere to be prepared. He's giving time for us to be discipled and transformed. He's giving time for us to tell the story to all who don't know. He's giving time for us to take on the attributes of the Savior of love and mercy and truth and kindness. He is giving us space to put on the attributes of the Holy Spirit that we might live Jesus, not just talk about Jesus. He's calling us to holiness, and he's giving us time to be ready. What are you doing with the time? You see, because the day is coming, as Peter reminds us, the day is coming when the Lord will come again and the works of the earth will be exposed. There is going to be a time when it'll be too late. There will be a time when it's too late to tell those we love the story of Jesus. There will be a time when all those who do not profess him as Lord and Savior will be cast out. We'll get to that later in this parable, but the point being, there will be a time when the waiting is over. So how you wait matters. It matters for you. It matters for your family. It matters for those whom God has placed in your path. So I ask you today, are you ready? Are you waiting for the Lord in a way that will bless you and bring glory to him whenever he comes again? Second thing I want you to see in this parable is the wake-up call. The wake-up call. Notice that the kingdom will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps when they went to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. The wise ones took flasks, the foolish ones didn't. And then all of a sudden, in verse 6, it says, but at midnight, there was a cry, here comes the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. Now, the Greek there doesn't necessarily mean at straight up midnight. It means in the middle of the night. It means when you least expect it. It means when you're dead asleep and you're, you know, when you've got, you're good, you drool, the whole thing. I mean, you're asleep. And all of a sudden, when you least expect it, bridegroom shows up. And there's a great call. Now, if you're wise and you're prepared and the call comes out and startles you to awake and says, hey, the bridegroom's coming. You go, woo, trim the lamp, pour in some oil, ready to go. If you're foolish, uh-oh. I'm not ready. So let's see. There's a sudden realization. If you're a foolish person, hey, he's coming. That whole promise thing where he said he was coming, it's actually true. He really is coming. And now, uh-oh. That's not good. There's a sad reality to that sudden realization that you aren't ready. If I could just have a little bit more time, I would do X. No more time. The wake-up call is that Jesus is here. Now, the foolish ones say, they look at the wise ones and say, hey, wait, why don't you guys share with us? We got a solution. You guys are prepared. We're not prepared. Why don't you help us be prepared? Now, you shouldn't read into this that the wise bridesmaids were callous and uncaring about the foolish ones. What they were saying is that if we give you our oil, the procession is a long procession. We're all going to be out of oil before we get there. The bridegroom will be in the dark. The bride will be in the dark. We will not have done our jobs if we give you the oil. We can't, you can't, I can't share my oil with you. You got to get your own oil. So here's the wake-up call. You can't be prepared because you have godly parents. You can't be prepared because you have godly friends. You can't be prepared because you have a godly spouse. You know how many guys I've heard over the years say, well, my wife, she's praying for me. Well, that's great, but what are you doing? You know what I mean? We can't get prepared by somebody else's efforts. We can't be ready because somebody we love is ready. We can't even be ready because we show up here on Sunday. Now, I'm glad you do, but that's not really the whole deal. Your heart has to be surrendered to God. Your life has to be surrendered to God. Your will has to be surrendered to God. And the whole thing is that you have to be ready to give everything and all that you have for Him. This is what was required. You can't be ready on somebody else's dime. So there was a sorrowful request, hey, can you help us out? And the answer was, no. Sorry. Now, the good news is that Jesus gives us this wake-up call now. So, good news for all of us, if you found yourself in the first point about being, how are you waiting? If you're not really actively waiting, if you're kind of passively waiting, here, your wake-up call is today. It's not too late. Today is a new day. You can start today to be actively pursuing holiness and righteousness and faithfulness by grace, the grace of God, through truth in the Scriptures, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not that you can do any of it yourself. It's all God working in you, but you make yourself available to it and you actively participate in it, and God is going to do something amazing through you if you'll wake up. Now look, hold your finger at Matthew 25 and look over at Matthew 24. Look at verse 36. It says, but concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away. So it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. The two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one left. Which one will be taken? Which one will be left? Well, there'll be a wise one and a foolish one. You do the math. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in which part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and he would not have left his house to be broken into. Underline this in crayon or whatever you have in your Bible, verse 44. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Notice the tense of the verbs. You must be right now ready. The Lord is coming when you don't expect it. So, the wait, the wake-up call. And finally, I want you to see the wedding, verses 10 through 13. And while they were going, while the foolish bridesmaids were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Now, I want you to see here two things. First, I want you to see the blessing of preparation. Those who are ready, they are in the joyous procession. Can you imagine how happy a day it is when the bridegroom comes to get his bride, and they're marching through the streets with all of their friends and all of their family, and they're headed to the groom's house. They're headed for a party. Every wedding that I have ever done, thankfully, I've never had a wedding where anybody was sad to be there. People were happy. It's a joyful thing. You know, two people coming together in love to spend the rest of their lives together. There's joy. And there's laughter, and there's love. Can you imagine? That's what, so the bridegroom's comes, and the lamps are lit, and the procession begins, and there's laughter, and there's singing, and there's joy, and there's happiness. All the while, the ones who weren't ready are over here trying to figure out how to get ready. They've missed the party. They've missed the procession. The wedding concludes at the groom's house, and they shut the doors, and the people who were ready were included. People who weren't ready are excluded. Now, in our politically correct and feel-good culture, we don't like this, but there is a reality in this story. Those who were not prepared were left out. They were shut out. And here's the deal. As much as I'd like to stand up here and tell you a different story, the reality is this. For everyone who has failed to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for everyone who has failed to surrender their life to Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives, for everyone who has failed to surrender to the truth of the Scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, it doesn't matter how good a person you were, because good works don't save you. If they did, the cross would have been unnecessary. Good works are not going to save you. Being in a Christian family won't save you. Coming to church on Sunday won't get you in. Proximity to Christ won't save you. It's only when you confess Him as Savior. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Will you forgive me of my sin? I will follow you as my Lord. I give you all I am. Take me. That's it. That's the only way. Apart from that, when you come knocking at the door, Jesus will say, like the bridegroom said to the foolish virgins, I'm sorry, I just don't know you. And that's reality. So I say this today truly because I love you. If you don't know that you're ready, don't leave here today without knowing. If you don't know that you're waiting with anticipation and faith, don't leave here today until you settle with God that you will. If you don't know, it's not too late today, but it will be someday. Don't gamble on someday, when today there is grace for you at the foot of the cross. And finally, for those of us who are ready, let's spread the word to everyone that we love. Let's tell the story of grace. Let's wait in a way that we can hear what Jesus says in the next parable to the ones who waited with the talents in verse 21. When the master came to them and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll now put you over much." Let's wait like that. Let's pray. Father, find us faithful to wait with faith and anticipation. Find us growing in grace. And Lord God, lead us to live for your glory. We can't do it in our own flesh. We can't do it by our own works. It's only by your grace and the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit that we can, in fact, become what you have called us to be. So do that miracle in us and through us, we pray. Amen.